that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Today Healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Off the Rails show on the OFD podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Voles, site manager, emperor, supreme warlord, and defender of the faith over at onefootdown.com on the SB Nation Network. And hey, just thought I'd squeeze in one of these off the rail episodes. I know it's a little quick after our regular OFT podcast, and one that got completely derailed with JFK conspiracy talk. But in that, I guess in the same spirit of conspiracy talk, I wanted to have a conversation, an episode, for y'all today. What is the Notre Dame football date that you obsess over the most? Which date in history do you look back and think, oh man, or awesome, or whatever? I mean, what date in Notre Dame history do you think about the most? Now, I imagine a lot of you have, there's a large handful, have, you know, a couple of games in particular, a couple of dates. How about November 20th, 1993, Boston College? That's a pretty popular one. It's a game that still gets talked about to this day. Or October 15th, 1988, the Miami Hurricanes. That's, again, another very popular game that still gets talked about to this day. Or January 1, 1989, the day that Joshua Voles moved to the state of Ohio. So, yeah, I have cursed Notre Dame for sure with my move from Fort Wayne to Hicksville, but that's neither here nor there. But that's a great day. The win against West Virginia in the Fiesta Bowl. Yeah, I mean, people obsess over that 88 season quite a bit still. I mean, they're usually older than me, but it's still a large handful. one that's really old, looking at November 19th, 1966, the 10-10 tie with Michigan State. The, you know, game of the century. That's the game of the century for the 93 Florida State game. There's quite a few dates. I mean, Notre Dame's had quite a few great games, great wins, horrible losses, like gut-wrenching losses. Within the history of the program, there's been just an absolute ton of them. But there's one date for me that I consistently look back to, and quite honestly, had things gone different, it affects the program today, right now, this very moment. Now, you can, the dates I mentioned, you know, there's other things there for obvious reasons. I'm not sure, for example, I'm not sure if Notre Dame beats Boston College in 93. And, like, look, I claim them as a national championship anyway. So does Notre Dame. They claim them as a co-championship. But for argument's sake here, if Notre Dame beats Boston College and then goes to a bowl game, wins that, and they're, you know, the 1993 AP national champions, I don't know if that affects Notre Dame at all in today's world. Like, I don't know if that has any bearing on Notre Dame today. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I would tend to think that it does not in today's world. You know, maybe the, you know, the Miami game, just in today's world, these games, the games I just listed are just kind of way far off, you know, too far off really to really say for any certainty that there was a massive effect on today's game. And I guess that's what I look at. Like, why am I obsessing over a certain date? Why do I look at that date and just like, ugh? And it's because it would affect this our program today. Now, just because I believe that it affects the program quite a bit today, doesn't mean that I wish that the program was different right now, per se. I mean, the butterfly effect, you know, it could change a lot of things. But the date that I'm talking about, and the date that I cannot get out of my mind, it has been there for a decade, is November 17th, 2012. Without question. Notre Dame went into the day ranked number 3 in the country. The number 1 team in the country was the Kansas State Wildcats. The number 2 team in the country was the Oregon Ducks. Notre Dame had to face Wake Forest that day at a 3 o'clock game. Notre Dame wiped them out, 38-0. It was senior day. It was as easy as a win as you'll see. It was boring. There was nothing to it at all. I mean, we're talking, you know, the 38 points was scored all in the first three quarters. No points scored in the fourth quarter at all. It was what it was. It was a senior day blowout against an inferior team. It was a 5-5 Wake Forest football team at that point. Across the way, though, so Notre Dame gets that win. Feeling pretty good. You know, this is back in the BCS era. We're still, you know, playing that if so-and-so loses, it's not, you're trying to get in that top two slot. And number 3, Notre Dame's sitting in good shape, right? You got you got one game left. You got to go out to USC. USC definitely was, you know, certainly vulnerable. They were a very good USC team. But you had to get that win. They got it. And convincing enough fashion, as boring as the game kind of was, 38-0's pretty convincing. That's good for the pollsters. Again, Notre Dame's just trying to position themselves to be in the top two to get in the BCS National Championship game. So now you have two games start at 8 o'clock at night, a couple primetime matchups. You have unranked Baylor hosting the number 1 team in the country and the Kansas State Wildcats. And then just a little farther west, you have the Oregon Ducks taking on the Stanford Cardinal at Autzen. And, you know, Notre Dame had that memorable game against Stanford, you know, just a few weeks earlier in the rain, the goal line stand, the whole nine. And Stanford came into the game ranked number 13. You know, they were 8-2, trying to climb their way back into, you know, top 10 status. And, you know, was very much the Stanford team that, this is still, you know, kind of early for Stanford, but I mean, this is very much a physical Stanford team. Great defense, running, y'all remember it. And Oregon was, you know, the kind of the finesse spread, use the speed, you know, kind of an offense. So anyways, this date turned things completely upside down. Notre Dame gets that 38-0 win. You're in Waco, and it was just, it's a bloodbath in Waco, and I don't, maybe I should have used my words a little differently there, but Baylor ends up winning this thing 52-24. They put up the 52 points in the first three quarters. No points were scored between either team in the fourth. I mean, it was a flat-out ass whooping. I mean, just a pounding. Baylor put up 580 yards of total offense to Kansas State's 362. It was a trouncing. They got fucking curb stomped. And you know, I think that game ended, I'm pretty sure that game ended before Stanford, Oregon. And so as Notre Dame fans, we're ecstatic, right? This is, this will catapult Notre Dame into the top two in the rankings. And, you know, we're kind of like sitting in the driver's seat. Awesome. You know, let's just say number two. That game up at Autzen, that bad boy goes into overtime. You know, with a minute left in the game, about a minute and a half left in the game, Stanford scored a tying touchdown to make it 14 all. They go into overtime and, you know, Stanford gets a 17-14 win in overtime. It was off a 37-yard field goal or whatever it was. And all of a sudden, Notre Dame is going to be number one. I remember getting a phone call from Wes, Irish Titaness. We're damn near in tears. We debated about driving up to South Bend. We wanted to go celebrate, you know, light up Grace Hall. We wanted to go celebrate and be happy. The fact that Notre Dame was number one, it was the first time since 1993 that Notre Dame football had been ranked number one. And, yeah, I mean, obviously they didn't rank them right after the games that day, but that's what was going to happen. You know, number one, number two both go down. Notre Dame's number three. There's no way but up. By the way, Alabama sitting at number four. I think Georgia was sitting at number six, maybe, or five. Maybe it was number five. Both of them won big. That was the SEC's SoCon weekend. So you knew the catapult was coming. Notre Dame was going to be number one. And it felt absolutely amazing, right? Like, if you remember this, and this is, you know, almost a decade ago. So there's a lot of Notre Dame fans that don't, you know, that are, I don't know, man, if you're 21, 22, and listen to this, you may not quite remember, and you sure as shit didn't have the feeling that guys my age, I'm 43 at the moment, guys my age had at that moment. The long wait, the almost 20-year wait to get back to the top of the rankings, it was, thrilling wasn't even a word, is not even a word that comes close to describing what was going on within the fan base. And it was amazing, right? That feeling, we're that week, Notre Dame's number one. They go, you know, go out to LA, you get that win against SC, you know, you're 12-0, dancing on their field, heading to the ship. And again, it is not a feeling that Notre Dame fans have had in 20 years. It was just incredible, the amount of mojo. You know, that season was incredible. The close wins, the gutsy way they did it, the Heisman campaign from Teau, just, you know, the funny stuff about Tommy Rees being a closer, Golston starting. It was an amazing season. And you finish it up going to the ship undefeated. Then, you know, you get to the ship, you got to face Alabama, one of the greatest Alabama teams of all time, and you just get absolutely fucking housed. Teau, you know, was probably having some panic attacks about, you know, people finding out that he got catfished. And not to say that if that didn't happen, he wouldn't have had a crap game, but I mean, it certainly didn't help. But it wasn't just that. It was just Alabama was that much better than Notre Dame. Notre Dame was not going to beat Alabama that night. And you give us 50 chances, I don't know if Notre Dame wins one of those. It's just, it was that good of an Alabama team. And the reason I obsess over this date so much, so often, is because if you think about it, they were so close to playing in a national championship game against a non-Alabama team. And Kansas State is the one that I get pissed off the most, because now it could have been Oregon, right? They were ranked two. But Kansas State, you're the number one team in the country. So if they beat Baylor, they finish out their season undefeated. They're going to the BCS championship game and Notre Dame. How would you feel about Notre Dame versus Kansas State in 2012? Well, buddy, I feel pretty good that for about a decade now, I've talked as much shit as I can about that game. Notre Dame plays Kansas State in 2012. Notre Dame fucking rolls them. They absolutely steamroll them. Without question. I don't care if Teo broke his leg before the game. Notre Dame rolls that Kansas State team. And that's a national championship. Now, why is that more important to me than than January 1st, 1989, or the Miami win in 88, or the BC loss in 93? Because if that happens, if Kansas State beats Baylor on that night, instead of losing, and we have that path to the Notre Dame-Kansas State BCS National Championship game, Notre Dame wins that, the entire identity of Notre Dame changes at that point moving forward. They are a modern era national champion, a BCS era national champion, which is, important even now going into the playoffs. It's still important even now to have, I understand, Tennessee's got it in there, but it's still important to be like, to not have like multiple decades between. And this is still 10 years ago. But there's all sorts of other stuff that goes on with that, right? Like Brian Kelly was shopping for a new job in the NFL before the BCS National Championship game against Alabama. You know, if Notre Dame wins that, maybe he gets an offer. I mean, this guy just took Notre Dame, who, you know, just a few years earlier was 3-9, was a program that had just been on its ass. And this man came in, and in 3 years, he did what Notre Dame national championship coaches do, and that's win a national championship. That's a sign of a great coach, right? So Notre Dame wins a national championship. Maybe Brian Kelly's going to the NFL. And that's the thing that I obsess over. Then it's like, who takes over the team in 2013? What does Notre Dame look like now? You know, I can guarantee you that if that happened, it's Marcus Freeman is the head coach of Notre Dame right now because of a confluence of events. It all led that way, right? Like by magic. But you win the national champ, if Kansas State beats Baylor that night, they get to the national championship game against Notre Dame. Notre Dame steamrolls them. Brian Kelly takes an NFL job. Who takes over in 2013? Who? I mean, I have no idea. But, and then where does Notre Dame go from there? Is it a good hire? Is it a terrible hire? Notre Dame right now is projected to be the number six team in the country in the AP poll come the start of the season. Are we there? Notre Dame has won double digit games every year since 2017. Take the 2016 season away and you got another one there in 2015. I mean, it's just the program is on the up and up. Are they still on the up and up? Have they, is you know, would they have won multiple national championships after that? Brian Kelly bounces and you get another coach coming in. Maybe he just, you know, completely puts this thing in overdrive. Or again, it could be a bad hire and then you take an absolute nosedive. I don't know. But the reason why this date is so stuck in my head is because of how close in proximity it is. And really, again, how much it could have changed Notre Dame today. How different the conversation about Notre Dame, and even nationally. You can't, you know, this whole irrelevance thing. And the 2012 season was all driven off of the entire irrelevant article, right? From What's-His-Nuts at Sports Illustrated. That drove the whole season. Cap got on the phone to call him about that, you know? So that's why it's in my head. Because then, you know, this is a national championship caliber program and would have had been for the last decade. Does that change recruits' minds over the last decade? Who comes to Notre Dame instead of, you know, who do they lose out on that they could have got? All sorts of things. You know, where is the program now? And I just obsess over that. And I curse the ground that Kansas State walks on for screwing us over like that. I think about that way more than any other date in Notre Dame history. And I'll bring it up. And, you know, Kansas State fans taking a lot of offense to it. And they fully believe that that they would have steamrolled Notre Dame. It's, you know, it's just them being them. They went out and got hammered by Oregon in the bowl game, but it's just that date, man. I can't get it out of my head. And I think a lot of it had to do with that feeling on November 17th, 2012, that night, late into the evening, early morning hours, that feeling of finally Notre Dame was back. Finally, it wasn't a September Sports Illustrated cover. It was finally we are back. And it felt great. It carried over into the trip to LA. It carried in over that entire month plus leading into the national championship game. The vibes around the fan base, the program was just, it was absolutely incredible. And that's why I would like to feel that way again. And to think that if just one other thing would have happened that night that didn't happen, if the thing you were wishing for, because let's face it, going into that day, you're hoping Stanford and Baylor lose. And why not? You want them to lose, and then Notre Dame gets to be number one. Yay. But if they just would have won, this whole thing would have been taken care of. And that's that. So let me know what you think. Get on over to the comment section. Tell me what date you think is the most important. I will live and die by this. Again, it's only a decade long. So let me know what you think, and we'll talk about it. Thanks again. And as always, go Irish.